Hello and welcome to RTÉ Radio 1's The Rolling Wave podcast with me, Aoife Nic Cormick. Photographer Tony Cairns has been taking photographs at the Willie Clancy Summer School since 1992, and he's a familiar figure at all events during the week, from the classes to the recitals and the concerts, and of course all of the less formal, although no less magic moments which take place every day. Together with Barry Taylor, he published a book about the summer school in 2003 called A Touchstone for the Tradition, the Willie Clancy Summer School, and he also published another book of photographs from the summer school called Music and Light. I asked Tony to choose a few photographs from his huge collection which might represent some important aspects of the summer schools for him. A tough job given the number of photos he's taken over the years, but he took on the challenge. And just if you're listening and you'd like to see some of Tony's photos as he's talking, not just the ones he's talking about tonight, but a range of his photographs taken over the years, you can go to his website, which is tonycairns.net, K-E-A-R-N-S.net. So last week I sat down with Tony Cairns in the community centre in the centre of Milltown, Malbay, and he told me how he began this work in the first place.
Yeah, I heard of the Willie Clancy Summer School while I was living in London and going to sessions, and I was in the area in 1990 and saw posters and I thought, oh great, but then realised it was on the following week and we weren't going to be there. So myself and my wife Yanni decided to make a pay visit in 1991, and we experienced the on the street, the tunes, the sessions and everything else. And I'd been taking photographs for a number of years on a kind of ad hoc basis. And I felt strongly that I had found a subject. And so I wrote to Moorish and requested permission to take photographs the following year to do what I called a photo documentary. I had no real idea what I meant, but I thought it was worth, you know, describing it in those terms. So 1992... I turned up and I just went through 52 rolls of film and took photographs in all the classes, as many classes as I could, at the recitals, at the lectures, and I kind of right from the start got to know the summer school in a very in-depth level. And I somehow instinctively managed, as Moorish said at the end, Moorish O'Rourkeán, the late director, said to me in Mary Fahey's pub on the final Sunday, he said, "You did very well. You didn't manage to annoy anybody," which I instinctively took to be great praise, because it's important not to be intrusive, because it's an intrusive act. So I have to say then, for me, I was bitten by the bug, and I was bitten by the whole aspect. And I had this work that I went through, spent the following year printing up, and then 1993 went back again and had prints to show people, and then carried on and continued on. I had no end in sight in terms of a time period, because time perhaps is a different quantity at John School, sorry, Willie Clancy, as well as anything else. But I'm still here and I'm still doing it and I still love it. So that's how it sort of evolved, in a way. It was just a kind of, in a way, love at first sight and a deep immersion and an incredibly rewarding experience. Well, as my brothers said, it took moving to London to be more interested in Irish music, and I think that's a very common experience. My grandparents played music, and when we were down in the house in the farm in Galway, they would always have Cayley House on, and we'd listen to that. But in our house, there was no music, like as in albums or cassettes. I tried to learn the piano accordion, but I wasn't very good at it. But I've always been interested in music as a listener. And I went to, like I said, in London in the late 80s, we went to sessions and got to know quite a few musicians, and we bought the records, bought the Planxty and Planet and Altan and Kevin Burke's album, the Cap, you know, the classic albums. So we had a strong interest. But what we didn't know or fully appreciate was the depth of the culture until we came here and experienced it firsthand.
Just before we go and look at some of the photographs you've chosen, that thing of it being a school as opposed to a festival, that's very important, isn't it? It's quite a distinction that needs to be made.
I've become very pedantic about it and perhaps overprotective, given that I don't play anything.
Well, you have the floor now.
But it is a summer school. And I think in a way a festival is more fun to people on a general level. And a summer school has got that awful word school in it. And perhaps they kind of react negatively to it. But it is primarily an educational enterprise. But it's not that it's a dry and stuffy. It's very much about teaching and passing on the tunes and the stories in a way that people relate to and get excited about and live for until the following year. As well as that, as Padder O'Rida said some years ago, he said, "This the Willie Clancy Summer School is a place where musicians can come and forget the answer machine, forget the emails, forget the bookings if they're professional, and come here and be loved by each other and feel in the grip of this friendship." And that's also something that was never done, wasn't done deliberately, but it was done by the musicians coming here to teach and feel relaxed. And over time, or even almost straight away, almost from what I can see, that value has been there for musicians, which is why there's such a sense of anticipation each time July is coming into view. Once Christmas happens, people are going, "How many days to Milltown?" Well, the first photograph is a very important one because it's a portrait I did of Junior Crean and Bobby Casey, who are two very important figures in West Clare music. And Junior Crean was the president of the summer school and a very active member. Both were very close friends of Willie Clancy. Bobby knew Willie before he moved to London, and then when both of them were in London. And Junior, you know, was a hugely important figure in West Clare music. And it's a photograph where Junior's looking at the camera in a very kind of almost beatific expression. Rarely enough, I suppose, he looks like he's pleased to have his photograph taken. And Bobby's looking at Junior in a kind of in a way that I think encapsulates their long friendship. During the latter years of both their lives, Junior died in 1998, which is very difficult to believe, it's like 26 years ago, that they would be seen together all the time during the summer school, and they would play tunes for students together. And they represent a pre-modern Ireland kind of aspect of the tunes and the attitude and the artistry, the kind of innate, intuitive, non-described, if you know what I mean. Like, it's just completely natural talent and artistry with the music. It's also important personally because it was I decided to start doing formal portraits as well as taking photographs of the classes and the sessions and stuff. I just wanted to add an extra dimension and to capture musicians who wouldn't necessarily have had a formal portrait done, because at that time the people who had these things done would have been people who were doing albums or doing various different things like that. So this, for me, it encapsulates something beautiful about the two men.
I think Junior shot me the first tune. What a horrid joke, wasn't it?
Thank you. bad job about all. No wonder.
Three women in Catherine McAvoy's flute class. What I like about the photograph, what I really respond to, is that in a lot of these classrooms, you get visual, kind of nice visual compositions. And so there's a nice row of three women, one in front of the other, almost like in formation. And it's a wonderful flute player called Catherine McAvoy is doing the class. She's not in the photograph, but one of the things I've been obviously covering over the years is the different classes and the different teachers. And it did the relationship between how people place themselves within which is kind of a primary school class, and these people are adult sized, and you get these nice kind of combinations, as well as it being a record of people learning to play music. So this is sort of, and each different instruments like flute, you have to think differently when you're photographing a flute player as against a concertina player or a Illan pipes player or a fiddle player. The relationship of the instrument and the human being gives you visual possibilities. So this photograph kind of represents the class, it represents the learning, but also represents the visual possibility as well.
Being a fly on the wall at all of these classes must be fascinating as well, though, year in, year out, when you're coming in and seeing how students interact and the concentration and the focus and the excitement that goes along with having a new teacher for a week. Is that kind of... does it feel very nice to be in those environments year after year?
Well, it does, because unlike a lot of people, I've had an overview of the school. So most people are in if they're teaching or they're learning, they're in that class, in that instrument. Or if they're not going to any class, you don't see what's going on. I've been in multitude of places, multitude of locations, and seeing a different way of a different approach. One thing I will say, though, is that in nearly all my experience, there's been a monastic level of calm and application, and people that are there to learn, and how dare this interloper interrupt the kind of the learning. And I always say, pretend I'm not here, try and imagine I'm not here. But it's a very, especially the younger students, actually, it's interesting, the younger students, they're deadly serious. And it's wonderful to see, because it kind of means that it's safe. The tradition is safe because it's just, they are there to learn and they love learning it. But it is interesting, as you say, there's just this tremendous, tremendous application and use of every second in the morning in each class. And it's extraordinary to see.
The harp at the school, Sari Willie Clancy, I think the first harp class was in 2007, and Kathleen McNan has been running it, those classes, since, and she is handing over that baton, I think, this year. This is her last year, I think, running the harp classes. I'm sure she'll be here and she'll be at the recitals and everything, but she won't be in charge of those classes from now on. But tell me about this photograph, because you actually caught a photograph of somebody at that very first class, that first year.
That's right. Well, obviously, whenever anything new happens, it's important for me to get some sort of record of it. And this is a sort of study of a young student after the mid-morning break coming back and kind of absorbed in her, plucking through the notes of her tune that she'd been learning that morning. So I was kind of in, it was a nice study of a solid, even though the room was full of harps. And I've been in rooms where there's like a tiny space and there's 12 or 15 harps, and they're not small instruments. It's not like concertinas, but it's just as I said earlier, each instrument gives a different visual clue or cue that you can see. And this is a study of a young girl who's just thinking to herself and getting herself ready for the second half of the class. It's a kind of a solitary person rather than being in an entire class. Thank you.
the word, I think, focus and application, you said as well, have come up a few times in this conversation, and that definitely applies to this next picture you have. Tell me about this picture. This features pipers.
Of course, it's important to feature, to obviously talk about pipers, being that Willie Clancy was a piper, and that the Sculsari Willie Clancy sprang out of the interest in pipers, meeting with Willie in Milltown over in the years before he died, and the formation of the Pibirillin in 1968, that the piping tradition is an important part of the summer school. And this is a study of a class being run by Nollag McCarthy, who was looking intently at a young piper who's playing the tune they're working on, and listening to intently to be able to say, help the young student to get through it, to understand what maybe mistakes they're making or what they should be doing. But it's one of the things I love particularly about the piping is that it's about the ear and the eye rather than writing notation on a board. And the classes are normally held in kind of small living rooms along the Ballard Road, in houses along the Ballard Road, and they're very intimate, kind of semi, even though there's five or six people, it's pretty much one-on-one. And it's there's a different way of teaching that I've observed in the piping fraternity that's quite, you know, personal, interpersonal. This photograph represents that for me. I think it's just the eye lines, the way the two people are kind of looking across at each other. It's also an interesting one in the sense that it's one of my earlier ones where I started moving into doing colour. I was doing mostly black and white with film, with occasional colour film, but then with digital cameras, I was able to explore and doing more work with colour. So, and I think this is enhanced by the colours that are in the image. It's obviously difficult to see on the radio, but there you go.
One of the things that a few people have said to me, and they come across in these photographs that you have as well, is the... And it's present in traditional music across the board, but especially you notice it in these classes where you might have children, teenagers, young adults, you know, older adults, all kinds of people mixed in together in the one class. And that adds a certain dynamic as well, doesn't it, to the school and to the classes?
Well, yeah, I mean, it means that there isn't an overt age hierarchy. And it's a great leveler for adults, actually, to be in the midst of kids in a classroom, because the kids can teach the adults. And I've got another photograph of a young Johnny Kelly teaching Cape Breton fiddle player called Lloyd MacDonald tips on the, and so you're seeing a man in his 50s who's passed on, being shown tips by a 12-year-old fiddle player, and that to me was an amazing thing to witness. And so you've got where you have, and it shows also that there isn't, in society, there are divisions that are not necessarily ignored, but they're not acknowledged in the summer school when it comes to learning and ability. Mm. There's a sort of degree of, it's an egalitarian aspect that I found very refreshing. Mm. And one of the things, first year, photographs of a mixture of ages, I took great delight in seeing that. And so this is a photograph here of Siobhan Peoples' Pater O'Loughlin and Tommy Peoples, Siobhan's father. And in the background you see these young adults who are listening, but in the rest of the room there were other adults, older people. But this represents the kind of where the part of the school where master musicians visit classes and play tunes not to teach the tunes, but just to demonstrate the style and to give people exposure to great musicians like Tommy Peoples, like Pater and Siobhan, that it's to say, here they are, they're in front of you, and you can listen to them, and there's no over reverence, but there's an acknowledgement. There's a reality about the music that's being played and absorbed. And I was very privileged to be in the room when these people were playing, because it represents, you know, so much that's so strong about traditional music culture. Well, this is a photograph of Ben Lennon and Paddy Jones, fiddle players, master fiddle players who have left this world in the last very short while. Taken in 2019, which you probably recall we called BC before COVID, in Maura O'Keefe, her master fiddle workshop, which is kind of colloquially known as the House of Lords. And it's a great class because Maura brings students in from other teachers' classes to hear the stories and the tunes from master fiddle players. And this is a particular one where Ben Lennon has just turned up, and he sat beside Paddy Jones, and Paddy's leaning in, and like in a way that people do when they're between tunes or we're talking about music, he's leaning in a conspiratorial way, and Ben's leaning in and listening. No idea what they're saying, but I'm sure it was something like a gem. And and these musicians would be people who would be full of just a lifetime's worth of stories, as well as the culture of the tunes that they learned when they grew up. And this is a great venue, the Maura does, and fair play to her. It's a great forum for people, young and old, to see and to hear this knowledge. And obviously, as each year goes by, there's less of these people around, but there's also more people who are being promoted to that, in a way, level. And that is an important part of passing on that knowledge in a casual and interesting way. And of course, both of these men would have been very entertaining storytellers, but they also would have been telling something in an entertaining way that would be quite profound and would be, you know, these would be people who would have thought long and hard about the music they play, the tunes they play, where they came from, how wide they play them. And so this particular module, as it were, this class, such a valuable link to a lived past. And it may also just creates this interest in the music, and it gets people excited. And it's this, if I may say, what I've observed with the summer school does is, it's the kind of the mixture of the formal and the informal, the rigid and the relaxed, that actually encourages people. It's like there's nothing didactic, there's nothing being told. It's up to yourself, and people pick it up, and they, you know, and it's been a real joy for me to witness this over the years as a non-practicing player, as not a teacher, but as somebody who's kind of watched and observed and taken the photographs.
Music tells a story for me, you see. Yeah, it's not a matter of... It wasn't so much dance music. The tunes, I really love the tunes, you know. I love the way the melody runs in the tunes, you know. It's the way the melody moves, you know, that somehow it just grabs me, you see. That the beauty of that movement in the melody is the thing that fascinates me about music. That every tune, for me, is an emotional content, you see. It's not just a matter of a formula or a series of notes and you play it in the prescribed manner and you come to the end. I'm telling the story as I go through the tune, you see. That's, for me, that's the way music works.
In 1992 was your first year, and we're in 2024 now. Are you still as in love with the week as you always were, and are you still collecting and documenting as much as you were?
Oh, definitely still in love with, I mean, I missed 2018 because of work commitments and I was depressed, you know? And it's actually, it's much harder now because of social media, because I could see everybody having such a great time. And I go, oh God. And so it's not the FOMO, it's just that this is my Mecca. This is my touchstone. The rejuvenation, the meeting friends, getting to know people. So at this particular moment in time, I'm actually engaged with the Traditional Music Archive to archive my collection of previous years where I took possibly far too many photographs and I've got a huge backlog. So this year I'm taking photographs, but I'm also taking a bit more of a back seat to give myself a chance. And also, to be honest, Aoife, like a lot of people, I'm here to have the conversations and to meet people and to listen to tunes and just to connect with the part of the world that doesn't mean you have to be under pressure, you have to answer an email. As I said, Pater O'Rida put so beautifully, is that you just have, this is a week of, it's a different world, it's a different experience of serenity and fun and joy. And next week we get back to that, the rat race, but this week we can just enjoy the whole experience.
Well, look, congratulations on a fantastic body of work, and thank you very much for talking to us tonight.
You're more than welcome, Aoife. Thank you for asking me. Riv Míle Maith.
Thanks for listening to the Rolling Wave podcast. For rights reasons, the music here is shorter than in the original broadcast. So if you'd like to hear the full versions of the tunes, you can go to rte.ie/Radio 1 and then look for the Rolling Wave. And if you'd like to learn more about Tony Kearns' work with traditional music, you can go to tonykearns.net. But for now, thanks for listening, and until the next time, slán.